Welcome,
you doing?
Sam and Thomas. Okay, so what's on your mind?
Well, I guess for me is I want to stop adding so much pressure to grow. I think that's been a drag, you know, on us for like the last month, you know. So like that's I guess that's one of the key things. I mean, we've got a lot of good things working. We, you know, I got a good prospect in the wings, and we just brought in a really good client that we're going to do some insurance work with. So that's, you know, very positive. And Patty has a lunch meeting tomorrow with some clients that she had a lot of years ago that are reaching out to her. So, you know, we got a lot of good things happening. It's just like we get a bit impatient, or at least I get a bit impatient, you know, with the whole growth thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to learn to harness that.
Well, Sam, you got to, I mean, it's different bringing in, you know, larger clients. They take longer. They're harder to find.
Yeah.
And once you get them, of course, they're amazingly rewarding because they have a multiplier effect.
Yeah.
You know, the 10 becomes 20 becomes 30 instead of the 200,000 becomes 300,000 becomes 400,000. You know, it's,
yeah,
it's, that's, you know, people forget that if you get a client and you keep them for the next 10 years, you're going to have a big increase in value, assuming that we continue to grow.
Yeah.
But, you know, I believe we're in the middle of a revolution in terms of productivity and disruption. And, I mean, that's not hard to figure out, right? Just like the Industrial Revolution. This is a revolution. And, you know, people question the stock market. And, I just don't believe that that's – I think our change is happening so fast, people can't quite comprehend it, so they get scared. But I think it's here to stay. So the question is, you know, yes, it's, you don't want to put too much pressure on yourself. On the other hand, assets gathered today will really look good 5 years from now.
Right.
So,
in fact, you know, like, I mean, some of the positive, we're kind of like we have absolutely plateaued. We are always like 100,000. Every single month, you know, that's what we produce. And, you know, I think I put pressure on myself because, you know, I think about a lot of my buddies who make a lot more than I do, you know, and, you know, I just, it's all that comparing stuff. But I think, you know, 1.2 million is a good number. I mean, we want our number to be at 1.5, but, but I think, you know, the 1.2 is a good number, not including, you know, some insurance work that we did. And, you know, the other good thing is a lot of our assets are now, you know, fee-based, you know. So
sure.
we did an analysis, you know. So, you know, we brought over, well, plus new assets, plus what we brought over from Morgan, we're at about $155 million right now. And a little over $90 million of that is managed, is fee-based.
Wow,
so,
great.
So, you know, that's a good number. And then I like setting little goals. Like, you know, I just want to hit that $100 million in managed, you know.
Sure.
And just keep stuffing that pipeline.
So you put enough pressure on yourself. I don't think, you know.
No, I definitely do.
So, yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question, too. Can I ask you
one
other thing? You know, we'll talk about that, but also – do you hear a lot of guys talking about fee compression?
In the absence of value, price is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure, there's going to be overall fee compression because the price of poker has gone up so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about it. From in your lifetime, Sam, you know, when I started, a $20,000 account heck, when I started in 1972, a $5,000 account was a good account. A $20,000 account was a CMA account. That was big.
Right.
And guys were doing $100,000 of production. They were the biggest producers in the office.
Yeah.
So you're doing that a month now, okay? So the numbers have gotten so big that, somebody comes on CNBC and they say they're managing $200 million. You're like, what? Why would I listen to them? I'm managing more than that. You look at them and go, why are you on there? If you're not managing $1 billion today, you're not very sophisticated in terms of being on TV. The numbers have just gotten gigantic. The compounding effect of those numbers, that's why there's a wealth disparity, not because, somebody's cheating the hardworking American. People that own stocks are killing it. People that aren't, don't. And so the separation becomes real. But they're doing better. They're making $16 an hour instead of 10, but they're still don't own stocks, so they're not getting the leverage. So fee compression, sure. If you've got $20 million, do you really want to pay 1% on that? I don't think so.
Right.
So somebody that's got $20 million and they're paying you $100,000, that's a pretty good,
That's right.
That's a job, right?
Yeah.
$100,000 is a full-time employee.
Yeah.
So, from a consumer's point of view, myself, I think about it that way.
Yeah.
Do the people that serve me earn the money I pay them? What would it cost me to have a family office group, or what would it cost me to have a person do what they do for me?
Yep, that's right. The real point too is, I'm always struggling trying to get people that haven't been on fees or who are fee averse to convert over.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much tougher than the upfront. When upfront, it's so much easier just getting it done.
Oh yeah.
Because trying to convince some of them, it becomes very difficult. Patty just joined us, by the way.
Hello.
It's just, hi, Patty. Sam, it's like when I take on a sales, if you were going to convert to Supernova and you had a brand new sales assistant, brand new CSA,
yep,
they would be just like, yeah, okay, fine. This is what we do. Great. But converting an older one that's never done it, it's like pulling teeth, right? They're like, oh, God, this is a lot of work.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. It's just new to them, and they don't quite understand it. So it's wonderful. You eliminate all conflicts of interest. That you do better when they do better. And look, I'm as sophisticated as anybody. I just figured out. I've been in the business for 48 years. And I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to pay those people because I value them. But I don't value them just for their investment advice. I value them for all the things they do for me, right? A million things. I value them for the agenda and following up on this stuff for me, and then the executive summary and chasing down things and calling me. And so I don't have to have, when I retired, I lost my secretary, which was like the most awful thing in the world. So it was great to have them because they do a lot of that for me. Talk to my CPA, make sure the tax forms are correct and all that stuff. So it's worth it. I don't mind paying that money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So anyway, in the absence of value, there'll always be fee compression.
Right.
It's like selling a house. What does it cost to sell a house now? It used to be 8%, then it went to 6%. Now I think it's like 4, 5. And
right.
Now they're advertising it at 2. But we're not a discount broker, you know.
Right.
So what is it, you know, what is it that you're getting for that 4%, 6%, 2%? I don't know. You got to convince somebody that you're worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, you know, like tonight I'm meeting a couple and, I'm going to go over the whole folder with them because I think that's where the value is, really showing them, you know, concretely, you know, what they're going to get.
Right.
And
see,
they're with a trust.
That's money.
They're with a trust company now in on Palm Beach, and I'm sure they're paying a lot of money. And I just don't, you know, I didn't feel like that they didn't even have a financial plan. So I'm going to hit that hard.
How much money do they have?
You know, I'm not positive. This is the first time they've reached out to me last night.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure that Cypress Trust is, you know, like $5 million minimum.
Yep.
So I don't know if he splits that with his sister. I just don't know. But obviously he's reaching out to me for a reason, you know. And he hinted that, you know, he would feel bad, you know, leaving, but he's okay with it. So.
Yeah, there's got to be some pain there. Did he mention what the pain was?
No, not really. He wasn't really sure what. This was his mom just died recently. So I don't think, you know, so I think they're kind of inheriting both. And like he said that he feels that they're nervous over there, that they're going to lose the account. Not sure why they're nervous. Maybe the fees are high, you know, but he doesn't even know.
Right. The fees are high. They've underperformed and they feel guilty.
Yeah.
Because they haven't done a good job. And they took her for granted because she was old and didn't ask questions.
Right. Probably.
So going in, just explain, you know, it'd be nice if you knew what their performance was.
Yeah.
Going in. So maybe you approach it this way. Let's do a little forensic analysis of what you're getting now, and then we'll compare that to what we give to our average client. So all I want today is to get as much information as I can to understand what it is that you've got, what it is that your mom paid, and what the kind of returns that she had and the kind of risks that she took. Maybe your asset allocation was great for her, she was risk averse and you're a little more aggressive. So let's take a look at the whole thing and not make any conclusions today.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah. And that's pretty much what I did. I mean, I stayed pretty much neutral on the whole thing, you know, and, but they liked what I had to say as far as, you know, I told them that planning was the foundation, you know. I mean, we can't make recommendations without a plan. And they had no plan. So, you know, this is like the first, you know, and it really hit the wife harder than so I was really singing her tune and saying, you know, she was basically saying, this is what I've been talking about. This is what we need. And they're just not, for some reason, they're not talking about that over there. Maybe they don't have to.
Right. And here's one of the other things I always like to do. You know, you never want to denigrate the competition. What you want to say is, you know, at the time that your mother hired these people, you know, that was probably a good decision for her. Okay?
Yeah.
So what you're saying, you're not saying mom was stupid and they took advantage of her or any of that stuff. You simply say, you know, at the time, this may have been a good decision. I don't know. But it seemed to work for her. Now, let's take fresh eyes and look at this. Right? And we'll see, you know, we'll let you see what we offer and how does that compare to, you know, what they offer. Just to me, that you know, that's what makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I said a couple of times, you know, that what I typically do is I give second opinions. And I really kept hitting on that, you know, and they just were very open. They really wanted to keep the conversation going. So I told them that I was going to, you know, where I would start first is I want to explain how we do business, you know, and really go over the folder with them. And that to me seems like that's the way to close business, you know. I think I've been,
right.
I'm like almost like 100% when I go and present the folder.
Really?
Because they
it's
can
so
literally,
good to hear.
They can see, you know, first of all, we put a sample agenda in there.
Yeah.
And also, you know, we put a couple things in there about like Raymond James' style of financial plan, you know, which has the questionnaire and also a, you know, a budget worksheet. So we have that in the folder to show them that this is how we get started, you know, like we need to have a plan.
Use terms like personalized, customized for you.
Yeah.
Because my feeling is that they kind of have their own, you know, they may only have their own money manager, right? So there's nothing customized for them, nothing personalized. They get the cookie cutter, quarterly reviews.
Right.
Just performance reviews, no family problem solving, just performance.
Right.
You know, what a difference. I would also think about, you know, the concierge practice model.
Yeah.
Okay. I would kind of try and explain what we do based on that. Now, it isn't as important to explain the progression of the difference between different financial advisors. You might try it, but it's more important that they understand what it is that the analogy to the concierge practice. Limited number of clients, limited number of patients, very customized, personalized, physical, very responsive if there's a problem, and no wait. You don't have to wait. You know, it's for a certain clientele that's willing to pay. You know, and that compares to a typical financial advisor practice, which would be more like an ER room, which would be a triage group. You know, they don't really know who's calling in or walking in. All of a sudden, it's chaos. And they're good. And they save your life, but it's not really what you want. And then there's the family practice, which is a step up from that, where they have you get an annual physical. They know who you are. They have information on you. It's personalized, but they have 2,000 patients, so you may have to wait an hour and a half if there's an emergency that comes in ahead of you.
Yeah.
As compared to the concierge practice, where you never have to wait. They always have extra staff. They always have a doctor on call and so forth. You're always going to be taken care of, and you don't feel like you're interrupting somebody. You feel like they're there for you.
Yeah.
You see? So I think that's a good analogy to use when working with sophisticated clients. They want that. And
yeah,
they're not as fee conscious, you know. They're willing to pay $5,000 or $10,000 or $1,000 a year to have somebody,
right,
that they can count on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say to add to that concierge practice model, you know, like especially, you know, for a lot of the small business owners that we have, you know, like to be able to talk to them about that we're going to help them with their exit strategy and
right.
Succession planning. And, you know, literally, like we're helping an air conditioning company right now. You know, I'm helping him sell his business. So I'm hiring the business broker, right? And I've been doing like the interviews for, you know, like who we're going to use, how we're going to do it. You know, and they're willing to even pay me over and above for that. I'm telling them it's all included, you know, in the service that we do. And, but it's an amazing, you know, that is a huge piece to be able to help, you know, not only their, you know, investing with their money, but also with their business.
Well, Sam, then that brings up the concept of creating that niche market for people that are selling their practices and developing a team that you wouldn't have to hire somebody for that particular purpose. You'd have somebody that was the best of the best as part of your mastermind group.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
You know what I mean? And, you know, so you have a CPA, an attorney,
yeah,
a business broker, and so forth. So to me, that would be something. Go through this exercise, but when you come out the other end, see if you can, you know, form them as a team.
Yeah.
And then you'll get referrals from them, not just from you, right?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's really good.
Now, then you don't have to do it as a you know, a full-time job finding them. You can,
yeah,
you can just plug and play.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I've been, it's funny, like all of a sudden the last week, people have been asking me for different referrals on different things. But I think the point is, like, really treating our group like a family office, that when we bring them on,
right,
you know, we're just handling a lot of things. It's not just investments.
Well, that's exactly right, Sam. And so when you think about it, why are they paying you the money they are? Because you're a family office group. And what would it cost them to hire you independently? Probably to run a family office group probably costs you $1 million, $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least probably $2 million to start a family office group,
right,
in annual fees. Because you got to hire the personnel and they're expensive.
Exactly.
Now you got to take somebody that's a good money manager and a good guy. I mean, maybe you could do it at cheaper than that. Maybe you could do it for, you know, $800,000,
yeah,
but it's not going to be $70,000 that you charge them. No.
Exactly.
So they're getting a lot for their money. They really are.
Right.
So, well, shall we say the homework is to build that network for a mastermind group?
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Okay. Build. Because you're doing it already.
Yep. Good.
Yeah, and then what do you do after you're done with this? You figure out how can I leverage this relationship. I took this guy from beginning to end. I delivered all the moving parts. Now, how can we help other business owners who are thinking about going through this to educate them on how it goes? You know, what are you going to need to expect? What a great seminar, right?
Yeah.
What a great seminar.
Unbelievable.
Right. So you actually bring in the business owner that sold his practice and have him with you go through what it was like.
Yeah.
What did
really
we have to think about?
Yeah.
Now you've got a testimonial, on-stage testimonial, teaching them everything that, you know, this is what I had to go through.
Right.
Here's the guy that did it. This is the steps we had to take. These were the obstacles. And this is how it came out. And so as you're going through this, you know, feel free to contact us and we'll help you. And, you know, all of a sudden you got a network now of satisfied clients that are referring you in any particular industry. And, you know, what's the industry here?
This is air conditioning.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe maybe at the Conference of Air Conditioning Owners. This is one of the breakout groups.
Well, here's the other thing. You know, like, we have three of our small businesses are on the same road in West Palm Beach.
Industrial Park.
Wow.
And they know each other.
That's cool.
Yeah, and, you know, so, like, that's, like, I think that's a great lead-in, you know, to go introduce ourselves to so many. There's a ton of businesses over there anyway on that street.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So that's a great idea to have, you know, either a business succession seminar, a business building seminar. I mean, you know, there's just so much you can do with that.
Right. You know, introduce the enthusiastically endorsed list of professionals.
Yeah.
You know, and they can be one of them. You know, their business can be the enthusiastically endorsed air conditioning business.
Exactly. Yep.
Right? And then and they're part of your network, and, you know, you get that enthusiastically endorsed group together socially, cocktail party, whatever, take them to a ball game, I don't care, something. But you keep building that and make that the go-to list for all these people. Oh, you need somebody? Call him. You need something here? Call him. This is my guy. And they know when they get a referral from you, they pay attention.
Yeah.
That's a big deal, right? That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, Patty, what's going on?
Not a great deal. Working on this new veterinary clinic, new client, and all the different pieces that go into that. And that, you know, when you first bring on a client that we've been working so hard to get, and it's all in all the little pieces. So it's a little overwhelming in the beginning. So we're getting our ducks in a row. That's exciting. But I like the idea about working on enthusiastically endorsed lists, because I think that could be something. In fact, this past Monday, I had a meeting to go and meet a client's attorney, and they ended up canceling the appointment on me, but I will persist. And but to add them to our EE list, so I'm going to start working on that more.
Well, they won't cancel if they know how important you are.
Yeah, I think that was the problem. And they were like, who are you, and why are you coming over? And so I don't think I delivered it well enough, but I need to practice that more.
Well, one of the things you can do is put two questions on the agenda for the month. Okay? And I don't care what the questions are, but, you know, they can start with your CPA, your attorney. You know, it could be anything. But just ask, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse? You know, just tell them what you're doing. We're putting together this enthusiastically endorsed list of the best of the best in our community, so it can be kind of an Angie's List of professionals, but customized for our level of clientele. Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, so we'll have it for you anytime you call. You can ask, okay, who is the best air conditioning company in our community? And we'll tell you, just based on our surveys, this is the company that gets the most enthusiastic endorsements. Here are two other names, because we have to give them to you, but this is the company that seems to get the most enthusiastic endorsements, meaning they give the most consistent high level of service. And they'll be like, that's awesome, thanks. Now that's worth money to that person, you know, the air conditioning person.
In fact, when I got the referral to this attorney, because the client was in the office, and I asked that sort of a question, not phrased quite like that, but, and that's, they recommended him. And so I should ask the client, I'm gonna go and see your attorney, Mr. Client. Would you do me a big favor and let your client, your attorney, know that I'm going to be calling them and I want to meet them, because I'm trying to put together an enthusiastically endorsed list. And that's what I neglected to do. And that might have been the ticket to actually meeting the attorney.
I've got one better for you, Patty.
Right.
Ask them to, I mean, the best thing in the world, of course, is an in-person introduction. The second best is a phone appointment or a phone introduction. But third best would be an internet introduction. And that's pretty easy to do. So all you do is just make sure you have the emails for both people, and they just make an email introduction. I do this all the time. I'm on a board at Wake Forest University, and we get new members on board, and we want to meet them and set up a phone call. So the guy in charge of, you know, fundraising will send out an email introduction. Rob, you know, this is Rob Knapp, and this is Sam Smith. I want you to meet each other. Here's your phone numbers and your email address. I hope, you know, you have a good time meeting each other. And then we just call each other, email each other, but finally get in touch. But they know what the phone call's about, you know, or what the email's about. Okay.
The internet is very, easy to do, and we're all on computers all the time, clients too. And that's a non-invasive way of doing an introduction versus calling.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I think practically speaking, I think you get a lot further along in terms of all this kind of networking by doing the email introduction. So, you know, you can always recommend a company and then follow it up with an email introduction. So when you're recommending somebody, I wouldn't just give them the name. This is the best, you know, this is the best. Well, first of all, you want to make it as easy as possible for the person you're referring to. So you just say, hey, listen, I'll send you an email introduction so you know, the phone number and who your contact should be. And they go, oh, thanks so much. But you also want credit with the air conditioning company. You want them to know your buddy. You want your buddy to know that you've introduced him to these people, and that if they don't call you within a couple of days, you go ahead and reach out, call them, because it's going to be a new customer. So that would be good for us and for them. You'd always love an in-person meeting, but practically speaking, that's probably not going to happen as much as we'd like. And the phone appointments, you know, a conference call, that's great, but, you know, it's got to be really important, and they probably won't do it that many times. But the email introduction, I think that's our kind of our breakthrough technique. So I really want to use that. I think people will actually use it.
Okay, good. I will try that next time. I agree. I could even go back to my client who introduced the attorney and email him and say, would you please email my introductory information to your attorney and try again?
Right, right. Just so he knows who I am. Just so he doesn't blow me off. Yeah. And they'll understand, and they don't mind. It's just they're trying to be as efficient as they can. And if you don't get it from him in a couple of days, email him back and say, hey, just want to remind you that I'm looking forward to meeting this guy, and I didn't get your email. So, oh, he goes, okay, sorry, I meant to do it, but I forgot. You know, you got to build in the failure of human beings to follow through, which is probably 50% of the time.
It's easier to not follow through. You're right.
Right, exactly. Love the fact you're using the folders as a process for introducing what it is that you do, and you see how concrete it is, and how much the clients get absorbed in it. It's got to be reassuring to them when they see it, that you're actually going to do this stuff. Because how many times do people promise a level of service and then not deliver it?
That's true. Absolutely right. I'm sure the client will be happy to hear that. I had an appointment and they had to reschedule and asking him to help me out with an email instruction. So you're right. That might go a long way.
Right. Right. So yeah, that's good. That's good. So anything that you guys are missing that you'd like to, have me do homework on or work on or help you with?
No, I think this is good stuff. I mean, I think we definitely need to build this up here, you know. We definitely have to do this.
Yeah, I think for you guys, the enthusiastically endorsed list is magical. The only other thing I'd say, Sam, since you're such a believer in the folders, make sure you're using the introductions given and received pages of the folder. And use that as a tickler for calling and thanking the clients on the anniversary of when they open the accounts. So you call both the person that is opened the account and the person that referred you, and you thank them.
On the anniversary, is that what you mean?
Yep, on the anniversary when they open the account. So they give you an introduction, and it never happens, right? You write it down, that's a person, and it never happens. Well, it's a reminder to call that person and say, you know, never did get that, never did hook up with your friend. Oh, really? He was really interested. Let's do it again. Well, this time you say, well, let's do a phone introduction, or let's do an in-person introduction, or let's do a email introduction. And then they go, oh, okay, that'll work much better. So that's one reason you write it down. The other is in the date that they gave it to you. The other is then you write down the date they opened the account. And then all you do is just tickler it into your Outlook and say, you know, every year on this date I want to be notified like a birthday, right? This is the anniversary when John Smith opened his account. And you think, well, I'm going to have a lot of those. Well, good. You know, gives you, you know, you got a few minutes. You just jingle them up and say, hey, just wanted to tell you this is the fifth year of our relationship, but just wanted to call and thanks. Thank you for your, you know, the confidence you've had in us. And they'd be like, that's awesome. Nobody ever thanks me. And call the person that referred them and say, you know, it's been 5 years since you gave me that introduction. I just wanted to thank you. It's worked out terrific in the clinic. You know, you've made, you know, it's a wonderful thing that you've done for both of us. And they'd be like, I got another guy for you.
Yeah, that's really good.
You see, the probabilities increase by about 100% that they're going to give you an introduction versus you not call.
Right.
Right? Because they're not sitting there thinking, you know, Sam and Patty need an introduction from me. Who am I going to call? Well, when you call, they'll go, oh, I'm so glad I did that because I made three people happy, me, Sam, Patty, and in this case, four people, and then of course, the client.
Yep.
So I want to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do it again. So there's just a couple of little, you know, how to use the folder. The enthusiastically endorsed list and the introductions given and received list, both of which turn into terrific marketing ideas, not just tools to fill up your folder, you know?
Yep, that's good.
Well, you're such a devotee to the folders. I thought I'd remind you of the best practices within the folder.
Yeah.
All right, so... Yeah, just start that. You can go back if you want to a few years, or you can just start it today. But my suggestion is, you know, nobody thanks anybody anymore. If you want to send a note, even better.
Right.
A phone call's great. An email's great. But, you know, a phone call would be the best. Because that'll spark an introduction. Okay?
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. My pleasure. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're doing great. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.